want you to turn with me to Luke's Gospel, Luke chapter 19. And I want to preach a message this morning that I've titled, The Road to Redemption, The Road to Redemption. While you're turning there again, let me just say I thank you so very much for your prayers. Many of you have reached out and checked on us, the staff, my wife, everybody's doing well. This is still a little bit uncomfortable. I do see my faces that are taped to the chairs here, so that's a little bit of encouragement. I want to, again, encourage you to continue reaching out to the community of faith. Reach out, let them know that they're being prayed for. We haven't forgotten anyone. We're doing our best to stay in touch with everyone. Thank you for your faithfulness and giving that allows us to continue to do ministry. I know that heaven is going to be filled with people that we've never met that are going to look at us and say, because of what you did, because of how you gave, we were able to hear the message of Jesus Christ. I want to get into our word this morning. Again, Luke chapter 19. I want to begin verse number 35. Again, as I said, today is Palm Sunday. It is the week that we know as the triumphant entry. And so Luke picks it up in verse 35, says, then they brought him to Jesus, talking about the foal of a donkey. They brought him to Jesus and threw their own clothes on the colt, and they set Jesus on him. And as he went, many spread their clothes on the road. Then, as he was now drawing near to the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works they had seen, saying, blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest. And some of the Pharisees called to him from the crowd, teacher, rebuke your disciples. But he answered and said to them, I tell you that if these should keep silent, the stones would immediately cry out. May the Lord add his blessing to his word this morning. You know, I really wrestled with how to approach Holy Week. Again, I know everyone's in lockdown, and there's still a lot of fear, and there's still a lot of uncertainty, and I've talked about that last week. And so as I was praying, I always want to come with a timely word. I always want to come with a word that God wants us to hear. And, I really struggled because I know there are people that I love and care for that are just having some uncertainty about tomorrow and about the things going on. But I really felt like the Lord laid it on my heart that we cannot get lost in what's happening in around us. Because Jesus himself said it very plainly, in the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer because I've overcome. And so I truly believe that we have to understand that he knows where we are, and he knows what we're going through, and he's already provided, and he already knows how he's going to get us out of that. So I don't want today to get lost on everyone simply because we cannot meet together in person and celebrate Palm Sunday. This is a very special time for the church as we, again, embark on Holy Week, as many of us know it. Again, today being Palm Sunday, it commemorates the final time that Jesus would enter into Jerusalem right before his crucifixion. Now, in our text in Luke's reading, we see Luke describe what is known as the triumphal entry of Christ. And I want you to picture that. I've been to Jerusalem twice, and I've stood on the Mount of Olives, and I've seen the valley that he would have gone down, the Kidron Valley, over across and then up to Jerusalem. And I try to picture in my mind these crowds that lined the street. And the Bible says that there was a lot of anticipation, a lot of excitement. They cried, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. The interesting thing is that public opinion at this point was, his approval was at an all-time high. I thought about this week. If we receive word that Jesus was coming to church, literally and physically, how would we prepare for it? You ever thought about that? Again, we know that he's here with us in spirit, but if we got word that Jesus was coming physically to be right here, literally and physically, how would we prepare? Would we run some type of advertisement in the newspaper or maybe something on social media platforms today? Would we have a welcoming committee that might do similar to what we find in our text? Would they line the street to celebrate his arrival? Would we call our sick friends and ask them to come and meet Jesus? Because everywhere Jesus went, he was always healing the sick and raising the dead. Would we do that? You know, Jesus had gained incredible fame, if you will, because he did many miracles. I said it last week. Many people wanted to follow Jesus simply because of what he did. There were many miracles that he performed. And so on this particular day, Jerusalem had swelled to about 10 times its normal population as people were making their pilgrimage for the Passover. So the air was electric. It was electrified. It was filled with excitement and anticipation. Word on the street was that a man named Jesus was doing the very things that was prophesied concerning the Messiah. This was the atmosphere that I just read to you, that Jesus came riding into on the foal of a donkey. Immediately as he would come in on that colt, the crowds would recall the words of the prophet Zechariah in chapter 9 when he says it like this: "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you. He is just and having salvation, lowly and riding on a donkey, a colt, the foal of a donkey." You see, they remembered that. And at the sight of Jesus on this colt or this foal of a donkey, the people began to shout and began to cry out, "Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." There were two groups of people or two types of people in the crowd. There was the crowd that came with Jesus. These would have been the disciples and other followers that had been with Jesus. They had witnessed the miracle that had just occurred of Jesus raising Lazarus from the dead. Again, can you imagine the excitement and anticipation as he walks into that situation there? And you know the story well. He shows up and they said, "Had you only been here, pardon me, then our brother would not have died." And yet Jesus said, "Hey, watch this." Not exactly like that. He said, "I am the resurrection and the life." So he watched him and he raised him from the dead. And so there was that crowd that had seen that. And so you can tell there was some excitement and enthusiasm that was being built. There was a crowd also that came out from Jerusalem to meet Jesus, and they paraded him into the city. Both of these groups were looking for a Messiah. And I want you to understand this morning. They were looking for a king who would liberate them from Roman occupation. But Jesus didn't come riding into Jerusalem on a white horse. A white horse symbolizes a conquering king. He didn't come in as a military conqueror. Instead, Jesus came riding on the foal of a donkey, which was symbolic of the arrival of royalty for the purpose of peace. He did not come to declare war. What Jesus came to do was to proclaim peace to all that had been at war with sin. Your people came out to meet and greet Jesus as he came, but they did so with their own agendas. They did so with their own preconditions or preconceptions about who Jesus was and what he came to do. It wouldn't be very many days until those who shouted Hosanna would be shouting, "Crucify him." How fickle we are. How quickly we forget the good that God has done and changed our tune from praise to complaint, or from worship to worry, or from singing to sobbing, or from dancing to doubt or despair and defeat. How quickly human beings can change their tune. I want you to think about this for a moment. From Sunday to Friday, the mood changed drastically. The madness had begun, and all of a sudden there were calls for crucifixion now echoing on the very walls that had just only recently heard the song of Hosanna, "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." How does that happen? Again, looking at how suddenly the crowd shifted from celebration to crucifixion, I find myself wondering, how easy is it going from Sunday celebration to Friday frustration? So how do we do that? How do we go from Sunday high to Friday low? Let me give you three things this morning. Number one, I think one of the reasons that we go from Sunday high to Friday low is because we misunderstand who Jesus is. We misunderstand who Jesus is. I believe one of the reasons for the shift in this crowd is from the fact that they were disillusioned because they misunderstood Jesus. You see, they were looking for a Messiah that would deliver them from the oppression that they were under. See, that's all they wanted. They had become accustomed for the last 3.5 years of seeing Jesus pull miracles out of the miracle hat, but now he didn't come to deliver them in the sense that they were thinking. He didn't come to release them from Roman occupation. They were looking for a Messiah to deliver them. They wanted a national hero. They wanted the Jewish king, when in fact Jesus was the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, but not just to the Jews. The Bible says he was a light to the Gentiles, the hope of the nations. He's the lamb slain from the foundation of the world. As Jesus rides in on this particular day, they shouted Hosanna as Jesus came riding into Jerusalem because they thought that he was the national king, a political figure. But Jesus was so much more than that, so much more than what they could even imagine. When Jesus didn't measure up, I want you to understand this. When Jesus didn't measure up to their expectations, they rejected him. They rejected him. Maybe that's the reason. Maybe that's the reason we so frequently fall from our Sunday high to the Friday low. It's because even today in 2020, we still misunderstand who Jesus really is. Listen, Jesus is more than a genie in a Bible that we can command at our will or our whim. He's more than a celestial Santa Claus who gives out goodies we ask for as long as we're good little Christian boys and girls. He's more than this kind of tooth fairy or Easter bunny that we visit once a week to gain his good pleasure and so that we can get our prayers answered. You see, the reason that people misunderstand Jesus, the reason they go and fall so quickly from Sunday high to Friday low is because they don't have a good concept of who he is. They misunderstand who Jesus is. You see, they come in thinking that if I say a little prayer or maybe do a little dance or if I give a little money or sing a little song, that Jesus will be pleased with me and grant me another week's worth of wishes. Is that how you see him today? If it is, then you sorely misunderstand who he is. When they find out that this isn't who Jesus is, people today become disillusioned. You see, we want a Jesus that can alleviate our suffering and alleviate our pain, and we misunderstand what he came to do. You see, we don't have to follow the Palm Sunday crowd into Friday, cry and crucify him. We don't have to stand like Peter the apostle in the courtyard who denied him. We don't have to run with the disciples who all forsook him and fled in fear. In fact, I mentioned it earlier. John says later on in his gospel that after the resurrection, they hid themselves behind closed doors. We don't have to do that. Instead, you and I today, this very moment, can affirm him for who he is. So who is he? You ever thought about that? Who is he? Well, among many things, he is the Anointed One. He is the Beloved of the Father. He is the Christ. He is the Day Star that has risen on high. He is the Everlasting Father. He is the Prince of Peace. He is the fairest of 10,000. He is good. He is holy. He is Emmanuel. He is just. He is the King of Kings, and he is the Lord of Lords. He is the Master. He is the never-drying fountain. He is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. He is the quiet place in a time of trouble. He is our Savior. He is the truth. He is the unleavened bread. He is very God. He is Logos. He is Word. He is extraordinary. He is Yahweh. He is A to Z and everything in between. He is our all in all. He is my everything. That's who he is. Listen to me this morning, friend. He's the same God on Monday that we magnify on Sunday. He's the same Lord on Tuesday that I trusted on Sunday. He's the same King of Kings on Wednesday that I worshiped on Sunday. He's the same Savior on Thursday that I thanked on Sunday. He's the same Deliverer on Friday that I found on Sunday. He's the same honey in the rock on Saturday that satisfied my soul on Sunday. When we understand who Jesus really is, we don't have to fall from our praise on Sunday to our pout on Friday. They misunderstood who he was. The second thing is they had misguided expectations. They had misguided expectations. You see, this crowd changed their tune, not only because they misunderstood who Jesus is, they were misguided in what he came to do. Now think about that for a moment. You see, they thought that he had come to destroy their enemies who stood in their way of national sovereignty. I think we have to be careful in 2020 that we don't do the same thing, get misguided. Listen, this world's not our home. All through Scripture, you and I are exhorted to store up treasure in another place. And I've said this many times over the last 26 years as pastor here at Bethel, is that we have been guilty of digging into the world rather than holding loosely the things of this world. And now everything that can be shaken is being shaken right before our eyes, and so that the only thing that can remain are those things that can't be shaken. And that is an eternity built on Christ. It's on Christ, the solid rock that we stand. All of the ground is sinking sand. And if I only look at Jesus as what he can do for me, I misunderstand who he is, and I'm misguided in what he came to do. He didn't come as a Santa Claus to grant me my wishes. He came to do something for me that I could never do for myself. You see, this crowd thought that Jesus had come to destroy, again, their enemies. They were looking for a national uprising to get back to a place of prominence. They thought that he had come to sit on the throne of David. They thought he had come to pull down everyone else and lift them up instead. But Jesus came to do something totally different. Jesus came, what he came to do was to die in their place for their sins and the sins of the whole world. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, his one and only Son, that whoever would believe in him would not perish but have everlasting life." See, what he came to do was provide a new covenant. Hebrews says a better covenant, an everlasting covenant. And he hadn't come, he hadn't come to exclude anyone. He had come to die for all, so that whosoever will may come and drink of the waters of life freely. I don't know if that's exciting news this morning. I don't know if you understand that. He came for everyone. He came for the down and out. He came for the uppity up. He came for everyone in between. No one is beyond his reach. He came to save from the uttermost to the guttermost. That's who he is. That's what he came. He didn't come to make my life easy. He came to pay the price for my sin. That's what he came to do. You see, because Jesus didn't meet their expectation and their agendas, they rejected him. And if we think we can play and he will dance, if we think that we can command and he will act, if we think that we can demand and he will deliver, then we have misguided expectations as well. You see, he didn't come to receive his marching orders from us. He came as the captain of our salvation, as our only hope, as our only way. In fact, the Bible says that our righteousness, our good works, everything that we do is as filthy rags. He came to pay the price so that we can be clothed in his righteousness, so that we can stand before God in a right relationship, not because of what we did, but because of what Christ did. Listen, if we think that Jesus shows up every Sunday so he can bring us goodies from glory, if we think that the Holy Spirit arrives just to give us those, I call them those God bumps up and down our spine, then our expectations are way off. Do you know what he does? Even today, right there, again, distance. No, he has no limitations when it comes to that. He's right there with you this morning. He's right here in this building this morning. Listen, when he comes, here's what he comes to do. He comes to receive worship that he deserves. He comes to give us strength that we need. He comes to meet with us and embrace us in his glory. He comes to equip us, to instruct us, to perfect us. And then listen to this. And then he comes to send us out with the good news for the lost and dying world around us. That's what he comes to do. He didn't come to make my life easy. He came to prepare me, to equip me, to send me out as his emissary to those that are hurting around us. See, when he comes to give us orders, not the other way around. Listen, if we leave here every Sunday morning understanding, and if we close out this live stream here a little bit later, if we understand that that's what Jesus came to do and what he sends us out to do, listen, the work of the church is not stopped just because we're secluded or quarantined or sequestered, however you want to phrase it, locked down. The work of the church doesn't stop. You know, today we live in an incredible time that has all of the technology that allows us to do what we're doing here today. And, you know, we have people that are doing little Facebook groups and our connection groups doing Zoom meetings and all kinds of things. It's an incredible time. The phone, to pick up the phone and call, or to FaceTime a brother or sister, to be able to share an encouraging word that impacts not just that individual, but if you do it on a social media platform, how many people get to respond to that? They get to hear and see the encouraging words of God. Listen, if we leave here understanding what he came to do and what he sends us out to do, then you know what? Then we'll not be disappointed. We'll not be disappointed. Instead, you know what we do? We find adventure and excitement in our Christian walk. When was the last time you were excited about your faith? When was the last time you were excited that you were a Christian? When was the last time you were excited to be part of the family of God, the body of Christ that has been left and sent out into the world to evangelize the lost? Listen, the reason that so many Christians grow bored in their religion and in their walk with Christ is because they have really failed to embrace what he came to do for them and through them. I want to just say this. The entertainment value of the church service is very limited and often unfulfilling. I've often said that If we come in and we get used to the show and we never connect with God, then in times like this, when the midnight arrives, the show's not going to do anything for us. It's the Word of God that helps us. Listen, the potential for power is always available to any one of us who's ready to embrace our mission and engage in our ministry. Again, they were misguided in what he came to do. And I think 2020, the reason that so many people go from a Sunday high to a Friday low is because they're misguided. They think Jesus came to make their life easy and pleasurable, when in fact the opposite is true. Jesus said, in the world, you're going to have tribulation. Paul, writing to the Philippian believers, says, for unto you is given on behalf of Christ not only to believe on him, but to suffer for his sake. And we don't like that. We don't like to be denied our creature comforts. We don't like to be told that we can't do something. There's a rebellion. They're part of that old flesh still resides in each of us. And we don't want to be told that we can't do something. And we approach our faith the same way. Listen, he's still Lord. He's still Lord, no matter how many more days that we're locked in, no matter how difficult the road may be ahead for us, he's still Lord, and he's not taken off by surprise, and he still has a mission and an agenda, and we can't be misguided in what he came to do. The last thing is this. Another reason they went from their Sunday shout to their Friday pout is they had a lack of kingdom focus. They had a lack of kingdom focus. You see, the crowd misunderstood the nature of the kingdom of God. Let me define that for you. What they saw the kingdom of God as was, it was something nationalistic. It was an ethnic or a racial kingdom. That's how they viewed it. Remember, he was the Jewish Messiah, so he's coming in, and they now think that Jesus is going to free them from the tyranny of the Romans. So their view that they were looking at was from a nationalistic or ethnic or racial lens. But he was so much more than that. First and foremost, and the kingdom of God is so much more than that. First and foremost, the kingdom of God is a spiritual kingdom. It is a spiritual kingdom. You see, they didn't know. I find it ironic that they didn't know, because the prophets, in fact, the whole theme of the Old Testament was that he's coming. I mentioned this on Wednesday night. Moses said he was coming. David said he was coming. Isaiah said he was coming. Jeremiah said he was coming. All of the prophets had talked about the coming of the Lord. And even, in fact, when John was locked up and having a little bit of question, he sent his disciples and he said, hey, go and find out from Jesus, is he the one? And I love how Jesus responded, because he didn't go back to John. He didn't send his disciples back and say, hey, go tell John, yes, I'm the guy, that I'm the Messiah. He didn't. What he said was, go and tell John what you have seen and what you have heard. Why? Because all of the prophets of the Old Testament foretold of his coming. And Jesus was doing what was foretold that the Messiah would do. So first and foremost, the kingdom of God, the reason they went from, again, Sunday shout to Friday pout is because they lacked a focus of what the kingdom was all about. The kingdom is a spiritual kingdom. This is why we have believers right now in 2020 that are thriving in places where it is absolutely illegal to be a Christian. In fact, there are many places on this planet right now, if you convert to Christianity and they find out, you're killed, you're executed. It's a capital punishment crime. But the church is thriving around the world. Why? Because people are understanding that the kingdom of God, it's not the temporal things that you and I see. It is a spiritual kingdom. So think about what that means. It means that the Iron Curtain could not hold back the kingdom of God. I was living in Germany in 1989 when the wall came down. And to our surprise, there were underground churches that were in Eastern nations, that some of them larger churches, 400, 500, 600 people, that had been gathering since communism. They had celebrated the Lord. It was an incredible discovery that even the Iron Curtain could not hold back the kingdom of God. The bamboo curtain of China cannot keep out the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords out of China. Even in capitalistic Western nations who now marginalize believers and treat us like extremists and fanatics, listen to me, even in capitalistic nations and Western nations, they cannot stop the kingdom of God. I want you to hear me this morning. The coronavirus cannot stop the kingdom of God. H1N1 cannot stop the kingdom of God. HIV cannot stop the kingdom of God. There is nothing that can stop the kingdom of God. They may take prayer out of schools. They may take the Ten Commandments off the walls of the courthouse, but they cannot keep out the kingdom of God. They may tell people to take their Bibles home and not have them displayed on their workspaces, but they cannot keep out the kingdom of God because we take the King with us everywhere we go. So where is this kingdom of God? Jesus said, it's within you. It's within you. It is a spiritual kingdom. That's why in the midst of the darkness around us, you and I can shine a light of hope to those that have no hope today. Listen, if our understanding of the kingdom of God is limited to health and wealth and to the temporal things that pass with the using, then it's no wonder that we go from Sunday high to Friday low, because we're thinking in very short terms. When we understand both the spiritual and eternal nature of this kingdom, my friend, we don't have to limp our way through the week and hope that we make it from Sunday to Sunday. I'm going to wrap this up here in just a moment. And I want you to think about that this morning. If we understand who Christ is, what he came to do, and we understand the kingdom of God is, it's a spiritual thing, we don't have to just claw our way through the week hoping to make it to the next service or the next whatever. So let me ask you this as I close. Is there a dramatic contrast between your Sunday shout and your weekday works and words? Think about that for a moment. Is there a difference? Do you have your Sunday shout and your Friday pout? Or have you come to understand what Jesus Christ came to do and who he is, and you focus on his kingdom? Again, this world's passing away. The Bible's very clear. This world's not our home, friend. We can't dig into this world. Yes, I want things to get better. I long for the day that we pack out this building again and I get to see your smiling faces and hear your amens and your hugs and all of that. I long for those days. But listen to me. This world's passing away. My future is not here. My future is in a place that he's gone to prepare for me and for you. Listen, you don't have to go from that Sunday shout to the Friday pout. You don't have to live defeated through the week and hope to come in and crawl in and get a good dose on a Sunday morning just to get you through another week. Listen, Jesus promised us more than that. In fact, John 10:10, he said, I've come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. Are you living in that abundance? Oh, I'm not talking about it. I know the economy is horrible, job loss. I understand all of that. That's not the abundance that I'm talking about. Jesus said, I came to give you life, and you can have it more abundantly. That's the peace that I talked about last week, that inner tranquility and inner quietude that says, you know what, I don't understand it, I don't know how it's going to work out, but I know God's got this. That's what I'm talking about. He said, I came to give it to you, and give it to you in abundance. Overflowing is what he says. Listen, if you're here this morning, if you're watching, and you go from a Sunday shout to a Friday pout pretty quickly, you can enter a better way of living. See, it's time to know the truth and let that truth set you free. My friend, it's time for victory to last more than a day or a week or a year. It's time for the victory that will last a lifetime and lead us into eternity with exceeding joy. I love what Jude writes. Jude writes these words in Jude 24. It says, now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. To the only wise God and Savior be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen. Listen, I want to close in prayer, and I want to do the blessing once again this morning. But I want to ask you, are you ready to embrace a vision of Jesus that can carry you through the week with victory and bring you back to our viewing live stream next week with a shout? Are you ready to maintain your victory walk from today all the way through the rest of the week? It can happen. Now unto him who is able to keep you is what Jude says. Do you know that God's able to keep you this morning? God is able to keep you and make his grace abound towards you. And I want to close with this prayer this morning. If you're here watching, listen, I know, again, the fluid nature of what we're going through, and my heart goes out. You know, we struggle. We understand the unknowns. We don't understand the unknowns. We understand that there are unknowns all around us. But God knows the beginning from the end. And I want you to be of good cheer, and I want you to be encouraged today. If you're watching this morning and maybe Jesus is not Lord of your life, you know, this is what this is all about. This Holy Week, Jesus came to do for you what you could not do for yourself. See, I rededicated my life in 1985. Somebody told me and exemplified what it meant. I grew up in church, but that doesn't mean anything. If you don't have a personal relationship with Jesus, church membership's not going to get you anywhere. The Bible says if we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, we'd be saved. It says if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. And if you need to do that this morning, I want you to comment. We'll call you. We'll pray with you over the phone. Listen, it's not hard. In fact, what Jesus did as we celebrate Holy Week next Friday, the crucifixion, he did all of that for you and for me because he loves you with an everlasting love. The Bible says in Hebrews 9:27, it's appointed unto man once to die, and after this the judgment. Every one of us will stand before God one day, and he's going to ask us, what did you do with my son Jesus? I don't want to be like this crowd that welcomed him on Sunday and rejected him on Friday because they didn't understand who he was. They were misguided in their expectations, and they did not realize that the kingdom of God was a spiritual kingdom first and foremost. Don't let that happen to you. Reach out to someone. Let's pray together. When I finish my prayer this morning, I'm going to, again, as I said last week, in the Jewish custom, I'm going to extend my right hand. I want you to do the same thing there at home, and I'm going to read a blessing to you. Let's pray. Father, thank you. Thank you for this, what this week means. I thank you that you were willing to send your only begotten so he could do for us what we could not do ourselves. Lord, as we commemorate the triumphal entry, Lord, it indeed was. I know that people went and their attitude changed and the atmosphere changed in such a short time, but it truly was triumphal because what he did on Calvary, he did for us what we could not do ourselves. He turned away your wrath. He paid the penalty that we owed for the sin of our lives. And for that, we're so grateful. And I pray for those that are watching this morning on this live stream. Lord, I pray for those that maybe they don't have a vibrant relationship with you. Lord, I thank you that you always bid us to come home. Lord, the prodigal son in Luke 15 gives us a great example of how sometimes we stray away and we go to the far off place, but you're always watching for us to come home and you're always there to welcome us home. I pray for those that are off in that far away place. Maybe they've tuned in today for some reason and Lord, your Holy Spirit is ministering to them right now. I pray, Father, that they would come home, that they would confess themselves, their sin to you, and invite you to come be Lord of their life. Lord, I pray that you'll give them a new hope, a new destiny, a new fulfillment of life. Give them a new assignment, a new ministry. And I pray for those today that may be fearful and scared of the unknowns. Lord, I ask that your peace would overwhelm them, that peace that surpasses our understanding. Father, I pray that it would be theirs today. God, I pray that you will keep us safe. Those that are watching, I pray, God, that you would let hope rise up within us. Lord, this too will pass. Lord, you will bring us through it as you have so many times before. May we not lose hope and may we never give up. I love and I bless each one now in Jesus' name. Now, if you'll stretch out your right hand. In the name of Jesus Christ, I bless you with the promises of God, which are yea and amen. The Holy Spirit make you healthy and strong in body, mind, and spirit to move you in faith and expectancy. May God's angels be with you to protect and keep you. May God's grace be upon your home, that it may be a sanctuary of rest and renewal, a haven of peace where sounds of joy and laughter grace its walls. God give you success and prosperity in your business and places of labor as you acknowledge and obey the imperative of Scripture concerning the tithe. God give you spiritual strength to overcome the evil one and avoid temptation. God's grace be upon you to fulfill your dreams and visions. May goodness and mercy follow you all the days of your long life. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. I bless you in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. God bless you. I love you so much. I look forward to seeing you on Wednesday.